When the high-tech bubble burst, lots of people lost lots of money in the stock market. Then there's Job of old. Job lost more than his money. He lost everything he owned. He lost his 10 children. He lost his health. Still, he honored God. Would you? Would I? Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In his series, What is God Up To?, Dr. Erwin Lutzer is speaking on souls in conflict, explaining why God puts us in tough spots, expecting us to obey him no matter what. Today we'll meet a man who lost everything, a man named Job.
But Job is a fantastic story, and you remember, God raises the issue of Job's righteousness. If Joseph's temptation was God versus sexual pleasure, Job's temptation is God versus possessions. Now, the Lord is saying, have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous. There's nobody like him upon the earth, etc., etc. And Satan says in verse 9 of chapter 1, does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse thee to thy face. You understand Satan's reasoning, don't you? What he's saying is this: of course Job is worshiping you. Of course he loves you. You're bribing him. You're paying him off. You've built a hedge about him. You have blessed him. You've given him a fine family with children that are known for their righteousness. You have given him 7,000 sheep, 300 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and very many servants. And he's the greatest man that is in the East. Of course he's going to worship you if you do that. Can't you see it, God? He's in it because it's profitable. But all that you need to do is to just touch what he has. Take it all away. And he'll curse you. He'll curse you. So that was the issue. Is God valuable to us? Is our relationship important to us? Only when it's profitable to believe God? What about when it becomes unprofitable? And he kicks the props out from under us. I failed to mention that in the illustration of Joseph later on, when he said no to Potiphar's wife and she grabbed him and he left his coat with her and fled, that later on she told a lie and he ended up in prison for 2 years of all things. In prison for 2 years doing nothing but choosing God and righteousness. So that's what you get when you serve God. And this is what Job gets when he serves God. God takes it all away. And the Lord says, Satan, you can go and you can take everything that he has, even his children. I read this passage and I get goosebumps. His children, they're expendable, if you please. God says, do away with the children. Have a huge storm come, and the fire of God comes, lightning comes, and wind comes, and the Sabaeans come, and they take away all of Job's cattle and all of his servants, and he ends up absolutely, totally desolate in one single day. And Satan's saying, well, Job, what are you going to do now? Serving God isn't profitable anymore. Just like Joseph in the desert, or rather in the dungeon, I should say. Are you going to continue to serve God now that it's clear that obedience to God doesn't pay off? Is he still worth something to you? And by the way, for those of you who are going through times of discouragement, and God is stripping you clean, perhaps, and you really have nothing left in life but him, is he worth it still or isn't he? That's what the issue always is. Interestingly, Job not only lost his children and his cattle, his possessions, but in the next chapter, God says, take it a step further and take away his health. And so Job ends up with boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And now Satan says, through his wife, curse God and die. Just be done with the whole thing. Job didn't. He said, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord, and shall we not also receive adversity? Isn't God still worth something when he blesses us, and in those times when he removes the blessing, God has still value? And that's the issue. That's the issue. So your possessions, the things that you have, that God may take from you or from me, the issue always is our love for him greater than the blessings that he happens to give us? Let me give you a third example of someone who chose correctly, and that is God versus success. Turn to John chapter 3 in the New Testament. John chapter 3, where we have the story of John the Baptist. I love this story because it shows us John's heart. The issue was this: he was a popular preacher, and people were coming to him to be baptized. They were turning to God as a result of his ministry, and then the crowds began to drop off. And the minute that the crowds began to drop off, his disciples began to feel badly for their teacher. They felt a little embarrassed for him. And so they came in verse 25, it says, of chapter 3. There arose therefore a discussion on the part of John's disciples with the Jews about purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who is with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have borne witness, behold, he is baptizing, and all men are coming to him. What they're saying is Jesus is taking away your converts, and your crowd is depleting, and it looks like your ministry is over. Now, it's difficult for a preacher to admit that his ministry is over. I've seen it time and time again. Someday it may be very difficult for me to admit that my ministry is over. And maybe I'll need someone to tell me that my ministry is over. But notice what John says in verse 27. A man can receive nothing unless it has been given to him from heaven. That is one of the most beautiful, explosive verses that one could ever read. I'll tell you, if we understood that verse, we would never envy anyone who has more gifts and abilities than we do. We would never be jealous of anyone. We'd be able to rejoice in the success of any person, either in the business world or in what we generally call ministry. We would be absolutely free in our spirits if we understood that a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from heaven. Somebody with more ability and better looks than you or me, we'd be able to rejoice, because if they have it, God gave it to them. And he has the right to give to some people one thing and to others another. A man can receive nothing except it be given to him from heaven. And then he says, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. John says, it's okay for me, for my ministry to be over. It's okay for me to go lower as long as, a result, Christ goes higher. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and this is the last passage I'll ask you to turn to today, because if you haven't noticed it, and maybe you have, the three examples that I've given you, God versus sexual temptation, God versus possessions, and God versus success, are really delineated for us in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says, do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, here we go now, the lust of the flesh, that's what Joseph encountered. The lust of the eyes, that was Job's problem, or at least God wanted to test whether he had that problem. And the boastful pride of life, the question of John the Baptist's success. All of these struggles, you see, that we face are really the choice between God or the things of this world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever. Notice it says, if you love the world, if you make wrong choices, If you choose the things that these three people didn't choose, you do not love God, but the love of the world is in you. What's the bottom line? Let me give you three brief conclusions. The first is that every trial, every temptation asks us to choose God. And you see, we indicate where we stand in our relationship with God by the choice that we make. We yield to temptation. We devalue Him in our minds and hearts. Now, of course, nobody can really devalue God because He is inherently worthy. We know that. But in our minds, we're saying He's not important because I have decided to choose that which He hates. And I love it, and I'm going to do my own thing. Now you understand why life is so difficult. What is God up to? God is up to training us and wooing us and drawing us so that we might love Him so supremely that when faced with trials and temptations, we may always say, God, You are worth more to me than anything else, and I will choose in Your direction no matter how difficult it becomes. And even when it appears as if You are opposed to me, I will assume that Your word is true, that You are for me, and I'm going to hang in with You no matter what. And what did Peter say? The trial of your faith is more precious than gold that perishes, that it may be found unto honor and glory and praise at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That's what God's up to. Glorifying His name through your decision and mine to follow Him, no matter what. You see, long ago I've learned that you can warn people about sin all you like, and it doesn't help much. Helps a little, but not much. The much greater attraction is developing our relationship with God. And when we love Him, sin does not look good. Let me give you a second conclusion. Very important. When we choose for God, we are choosing for ourselves. When we choose for God, we are choosing for ourselves. You see, Satan has set up a false dichotomy. The impression sometimes is given that as Christians, in facing what we call temptation, the real question is, do I do what is good for myself or do I do what is good for God? That's nonsense. That's not the issue. Because when I choose God and value Him, I choose that which is best for myself. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend today, I have always said that the only way that we can keep ourselves pure is when we develop a passion for Jesus Christ that is greater than our passion to sin. And that relationship with Jesus Christ is developed through prayer, through reading the Word, through worship with other believers, through watchfulness. I hope today that you and I do those things that will develop a love for Christ that will make sin look bad. Let's do that today.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Souls in Conflict, part of his current series on What is God Up To? Next time on Running to Win, more on why obeying God is always best. We at Moody Church believe this eight-part series will help you understand God's overall plan for the human race. What is God Up To can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.